Hey, thanks.
Thanks.
God, was I scared.
I know that when I get behind the wheel and drive out of the driveway, there's an immediate lifting of spirit.
Somewhere in a town or something, but I wouldn't have a map.
And I said, okay, how much did he pay for each wife?
Because of the adventure, the open road.
Because they pay for their wives.
Not knowing where I'm going to be that night, not knowing who I will meet during the day.
I said, well, he'd have to pay 5 pigs for me, and then I'll be his wife.
Welcome to Hitchhiking Off the Map. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller. 5 pigs? Isn't that kind of cheap?
I suppose by middle-class standards it is, but then, you know, just saying I love you, honey, can be kind of cheap, too.
Oh, no, now don't tell me. I can remember.
Thank you. So we're here to tell stories about journeys.
A journey is whatever got you from wherever you were to wherever you are now.
And some of that trip you had a map for, probably. Go to school, take the exam, get a job, earn those 5 pigs.
But some of it's the time that you wandered off the road or took that little path up the mountain or went someplace that wasn't even on the map.
So today we've got some short interview snippets and then an encounter with an alien life form.
So here are 3 friends, their stories, and we put these stories together because... Why? Because they're all about trips they took as kids. Is that okay? Do we have to learn something from these?
Well, you know, I've seen a couple of children's theater shows lately, and it's almost impossible, actually, for a theater company to do a show in a school or for school kids without supplying the teacher with a curriculum guide. What are the lessons we can learn from this? Although my infinite wisdom tells me that the only real learning that stays is what comes creeping up behind you and bites your butt.
there's a jump start.
So the lessons from this, I guess, are life is very weird, so improvise.
That was a very special trip. We went to Hollywood, and I had learned the first few paragraphs by heart of Alice in Wonderland, and I was reciting them on the corner of Hollywood and Vine to anyone who would listen. Well, soon there was a big crowd, and my mother and my grandmother could not find me, and they were going crazy. And at one point, and I'm just, you know, in my glory, I was 4 and a half, and I felt this arm come reaching in through the crowd and just yanked me out of there, and I got a big spanking. I didn't do that again.
When I was a little kid, we took some road trips, but they were very limited in extent. However, just driving around locally was an adventure often. Like, for example, getting the car started. It wasn't a point of contention, it was just a nexus around which rationality intersects under pressure of circumstance with extra-rational cognitive structures and practices. For example, we had this very old Willys Jeep that was in very poor repair, and when it drove down the street, a blue cloud, one of those opaque clouds where the exhaust is clearly very broken, would come out the back. This was about 1958 when I was 4 years old. And we had it very briefly because it died. It finally blew a head gasket or something dropped the, you know, crankcase on the ground. But we would get these cars that had, you know, 350,000 miles. And we'd just drive them until they would die. So sometimes getting the car to start was a problem, depending on which car it was. This one, Willys, especially, it was pretty cold when we had that vehicle. And it was sort of in the winter, and we would do this praying thing. We would pray for it to start. So that was very adventurous to us as primarily rational children, to witness and participate in a kind of a ritual, a rite, something that was clearly aimed at transcending the mundane and kind of doing something else. And it was clearly believed to be efficacious. The presumption, the reigning presumption, was this was going to actually work. And we were, the kids would say, would kind of doven, move forward, back and forward from the waist, sitting in the car that we're hoping to start, saying, pray, pray, pray. That was the chant.
Now, the longest trip I took was to California by Greyhound bus when I was 4 and a half. And I get car sick very easily. And my mother bought my brother a special cowboy hat, and all the way home on the bus, she would change the plastic bags over the cowboy hat, and she kept looking at me and saying, "Don't you ever tell your brother that you did this." I didn't tell my brother.
I can remember one time my father it was just me and my father on a trip, and I had to go to the bathroom, and we were in Natural Bridge, Virginia. And my father took me to the ladies' room and sent me inside, and I went in, and there was a black lady there, and she looked at me and she said, "Well, you must be in the wrong place." And it turned out that the restrooms were segregated in Natural Bridge, Virginia, and my father had sent me into the colored restroom instead of the white restroom. And so the lady brought me out and said, "Well, you sent her to the wrong restroom." And my father looked at her and said, "Well, did she pee?" And and the lady said, "Well, no." And my father said, "Well, then can you take her back inside, and then when she's finished, then she can come back out." I've always remembered that. With a certain amount of embarrassment.
We were talking with Diana Pepitone, Mark Cello, and Sarah Savitz.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map. So we hope that you will be moved to contribute a story of your own. Travel, trip, changes, migrations, pilgrimages, getting lost, getting found, trying to understand whatever language is being spoken to you.
And here's how you get a hold of us. You can send us an email. The address is info@independenteye.org. I is all one word, and it's...
Independent I is all one word.
Yeah. You can contact us by...
Please get a hold of us
by sending us an email, unless your religion forbids email. We'd like to get past this idea that the only stories worth knowing are the ones that you pay a bunch of bucks for at the Cineplex.
This next story is, I want to do a bit of an introduction to this because we've been talking about experiences that people remember vividly as kids, and it was the first time this had ever happened, or some startling new thing in life. But there are other times when something happens that changes entirely the way we look at a world that we've looked at. I was thinking about an interview that we did several years ago.
Yeah, Donna Brown.
In Philadelphia, a woman named Donna Brown, who is the director and founder of a wonderful community arts organization called Point Breeze Performing Arts Center. And she spoke of two parallel experiences of suddenly seeing something different.
There are people in the greater, greater Northeast who have never been into to Center City, Philadelphia. My husband's sister lived, when she graduated from college, she started to work for Procter & Gamble, and they moved her out to Lansdale. A woman came and knocked on her door, and she said, "I have never seen a black person except on television." And my sister looked, she looked at her, you know what I mean? She's like, "Are you serious?" The woman was so fascinated with my sister-in-law. Now, we're talking less than 45 minutes away from Philadelphia itself. This woman was so fascinated with her. She came into her house and she said, "You have furniture." So my sister-in-law was like, "Well, what are you talking about?" She said, I just would assume that black people didn't have furniture or nice houses or that they didn't do things that we did. Perfect example. When I told the three that were going to go to Peru, they hemmed and hawed. They were like, "Well, you know, we don't know if we really want to go." And, you know, I was like, "What are you scared of?" "Oh, you know, it's going to be different." And, well, believe you me, I took them screaming, hollering, and I kicked them. I mean, I kicked them. I literally forced them to go. I said, "You're going to go." I said, "Get used to it, you know. It's an experience. That's all it is. It's an experience. It's for 23 days. It's not the rest of your life." So now they come back and they're superstars. Everybody's asking them questions, you know, and they're telling them about how things were different and the next place they would like to go and, you know, they want to see different places. They said, "Miss Donna," they said, "didn't you think it was going to be different?" Because I went to pick them up. And I said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, we thought that, you know, the people were going to have chickens, were going to be running in and out of the houses. And that, you know, we just thought it was going to be so poor that, you know, the cows and that we were going to be living on dirt floors." And because the ballet teacher kept telling them, she said, "It's a very poor country. You know, it's very poor." But they're very poor translated into something that they've seen on television about how it used to be when America was discovered. So that was a revelation for them. It really, really was.
So, overturning expectations. This next story came out of nowhere a number of years ago. I guess came out of reading some testimony of people who had
had... It was my astrophysics class.
That's right. Close Encounters.
J. Allen Hynek.
What, the strange kind, the third kind. Space aliens, things like this.
And knowing a number of people who might be suspected of being space aliens. Yeah.
And also my mother, who had no such encounters. But this is very much, I guess, in her rhythms, her voice.
Yeah, she lives very close inside this somewhere. She knew all about the grim side of life, but under all of that, there was always something to be found.
A very relentless sense of hope, I think. So when I was a kid, also in Council Bluffs, Iowa, the Burlington Lunch was a greasy spoon lunch counter. It was part of the Burlington bus station. The last time I was there, it was a parking lot. But this is Burlington Lunch.
Well, all this stuff now. The auction's on Thursday. They're selling it all. Counterfeitings, grill, refrigerator, booths, stools, tables. Sign out there says Burlington Lunch.
Yeah, well, we'll be bidding for the whole property if we're interested.
And we're closed for business, but I can make some coffee.
No, that's fine.
Now, there's going to be some furniture. I got stuff at home. Armchair. I just bought it last year at Cattleman's. I never sat in it much. I never sat down. Some old guy offered me $35. I can't sell it for that. Old tightwad.
Yeah, I just look around.
Oh, there's a lot come through to look. But they don't care about stuff. They come to take a look at me. They come cruising in here like I was an accident on the freeway. Want to see me because I got my name in the papers. Burlington Lunch. No, I got rid of some furniture after my second husband died. Oh, I loved my first husband. We had a son and daughter. My son's in California, and my daughter, she's here and there. Couldn't never keep up with her. She was always running through the house, running into doors. But he died, and so, of course, you think you gotta have a man. And my second husband, he was in civil service. He was a son of a bitch. I married this old fart. He didn't do nothing but lay down on my sofa every night. He wore the springs out on my sofa. Brand new furniture, completely paid for. And he died. died on my sofa. I had to get rid of it. He didn't mess on it or anything, but just the idea. You don't want to think of him laying there. So I had to keep busy, so I saw in the paper the Burlington Lunch. They used to have the bus station here, so it's the Burlington Lunch. And I had my pension, and I always wanted to run a lunch counter. A lot of regulars. Guys come over from Markle's and the Ford place. Mechanics and the salesmen. People from over at Stockyards. And I can understand how they felt, you know. I mean, here, you know, Ned, in a couple years, she'll kid around, a lot of laughs, and then this happens. They think it's a joke. But it's no joke. I guess I shut them up. No joke. I don't know what my life would be like. You always wonder, is it coming back? I thought it might come back, but I don't know if they'd have the right maps. There are some never use maps, but they always get where they're going. Oh, should I put some coffee on?
You say?
Oh, I couldn't put up with a joke and carrying on. Young Raleigh, mechanic, he was nice. He always had a hello, but salesman was the worst. They'd try to act cute. Come in and order pancakes. Pancakes for lunch. Smart, see? Now, these stools are new.
Yeah,
I just put those in last year. They spin around good. I wouldn't mind keeping one. Sit there and spin around. Now, that jukebox, they just put that in here, this company. It goes out tomorrow. It's not for sale. I can't stand that damn thing. They all sound like they got the piles.
Y'all gotta take a look in the back.
I should have kept my mouth shut. But I told people what happened. It got in the newspapers. They sent somebody out and said, well, was it men from Mars? Look at you and grin. But I was walking back from the 7-Eleven. You're not crazy when you're walking back from the 7-Eleven. I had to go up there for some half and half, and I can't stand that damn creamer, so I had to go up to the 7-Eleven, and I was walking back, and there it was. There it was. Those dumb movies. All that science fiction stuff, but you can't describe it. Describe what it's like being born. Nobody ever done that. There it was. What's the word? And if he uses all those words, there's a word for it. What's a word? I should have kept my mouth shut. Nobody believes it. Hell, I could lie. I learned how to lie. I've been taught by experts. But try and tell them the truth. It's not on the menu. You know, they offered me $5,000 from the National Enquirer, but they never called back. Because later I found out they'd got some other guy who claimed the Russians was from another planet. And this other guy, he killed his cat because he says it's the Antichrist. That's the stuff they print. But there it was. Like you weren't over here and you weren't over there. You were just being there. And I walked up in there, they gave me these pancakes. Sort of like pancakes. Cornmeal pancakes. I ate a whole pile of them. And I put a couple in my pocketbook in case I got hungry later. They were just pancakes. And I talked. I just started talking. Seemed like what I was there for. Started talking, talking, and talking so much that wants to come out. And there they were. Listening. There they were. I didn't know I had stuff to say. I didn't know I had stuff like that. I talk to the cat sometimes, and there's Raleigh, mechanic. He's kind of nice, but they didn't say nothing. Just listen. Just echoes. Just like I was asking my question. My own questions to myself. And I never asked questions to myself before. It hurt. It hurt. Just terrible. It hurt so much. I'd never been in such pain, such terrible pain, just cut into my head. And it wasn't something they're doing. It's something in me. Cut into my head, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And I never felt so good before. Never felt so good. Because I never lied. Not to them. first time and never lied. Even my first husband. We'd sit there and say, well, how are you? And we'd say, fine, but even him. There was one time we went out camping, fishing with some other couples, and we almost went in naked swimming. We almost went in naked swimming. We joked about it, we never did it, but even him, I couldn't come out and say it. You gotta wait for the man to say it, and then he never says it. But them, they never took me up in there and said, what's your husband's name? They didn't care if I was married to a hog. They just called me Edna. Edna. I could hear it 1,000 times in the echoes. I go on, don't I? Well, take your time. It's all gotta go. Oh, he's out back. And all I had left was these couple of pancakes. And somebody come out from the paper and he looked at the pancakes. He sent one to the lab. Finally come back, it was all dried up like a turd. And the lab says it's cornmeal. Wrote that in the paper. So what? Why shouldn't they have cornmeal wherever they come from? Maybe they stopped at the 7-Eleven. I saw this little kid shooting off this rocket, little toy rocket. I thought, what if I go over and talk to him? He's just a little kid, 7-8 years old. Wonder what he thought. He thought I was some crazy old granny gonna give him an apple with razor blades. Called my son and didn't tell him nothing. And people coming in here get snotty, and I told them where to go, and they did. I lost all the business. People couldn't trust you to fix them ham and eggs, said I couldn't take a joke. Damn right. All my life I took a joke, words and lies and figures, and make it balance out and sell it to somebody like a goddamn used car and swear up and down it's gonna run. But I transcended. Is that the word? Transcended. That's the word. My nephew uses all those words. Transcended. Oh, they heard every word. Oh, people laughed, yeah, but it wasn't that. That was just rain on the roof. But once it happened, I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't wipe the counter. I couldn't turn the eggs on the grill. I kept thinking back there. Being there.
Oh, good. Auction on Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday. Yep. You come Thursday. There's a lot of good stuff. There'll be some furniture. All my furniture, too. Get what's left. You have no idea.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming down.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, watch that step. I never even told my son. I'm going to get on the bus. Friday. Get on the bus, it's the trailways now, and I'll ride till I get off somewhere out west, and then I'll walk. And maybe they'll see me. Maybe they'll pick me up. Never can tell, pick me up again. Go out in the country, out where it's clear, and I'll start walking down the road. And the road gets smaller and rougher, and then it forks off, and it's nothing but dirt. And the dirt road's just a track, two tracks, and horse manure. And there's no road then, just going across the fields till there it is. There it is. And that's where it is. In the Burlington Lunch, tear it down, put up a Pizza Hut. You'll never remember Edna, that old bat. What's her name, Edna? Maybe Raleigh. He's kind of nice. He might remember. They just call me Edna. Edna. Hear it 1,000 times in the echoes.
We were listening to Burlington Lunch. And that's our trips for this week. Hitchhiking Off the Map is a production of The Independent Eye. Yes, it's a strange name for a radio producer, but it's about a kind of cockeyed way of seeing things.
Hitchhiking is supported by the National Endowment for the Arts and by the Hitchhikers Guild, which offers amazing benefits and keeps the show on the air. For CDs of our shows or to contribute stories or dollars.
Or to listen to all of our past shows.
Oh, yeah, they're all up on the website.
You can visit our website, www.independentei.org.
I is E-Y-E, and Independent I is all one word.
Shows written and hosted by Conrad Bishop and Elizabeth Fuller. Music and editing by Elizabeth Fuller. Sets and costumes by Conrad Bishop. It's all us, but that's who we can afford right now.
This is Elizabeth Fuller.
And this is Conrad Bishop, especially thanking the key people at our host stations. By name, that's Robin Pressman, Susan Stone, Mary Egner, Jamie Roberts, Lyons Filmer, and Michael Jacinto for sticking out their thumbs and taking a chance with us. Let them know how you like it.
We need to make the disclaimer that any trademarked product names mentioned on the show are solely based on colloquial usage and are not paying for product placement, and we are not implying that you stand any greater chance of encountering space aliens going to the 7-Eleven than going to the Quick Stop, the Come and Go, the Wawa, the Hoo-Ha, the Safeway, Whole Foods, Wild Strawberries.
Well,
it just depends on where you live.
And what your expectations are. So long.
I had that male thing of having trouble stopping to ask for directions because I think that I can figure it out all by myself. It's so boring. And then other times I'm totally good and don't do that. But sometimes when I do that, I take the wrong exit or something and I end up 10 or 15 miles away from where I'm trying to be, and then I have to ask anyway.